Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in his great goodness has united us together into the Christian fellowship, dear fellow redeemed. During the course of the public ministry that I was privileged to be in over the years, Barb and I worked at a wide variety of congregations. Some were, one was large, others were small, and then there were others that were in between. But of all the many different congregations that we served, one thing really stood out. They had good cooks, and this made for some really enjoyable potluck fellowship meals. Now, we didn't go to these congregations just for the sake of the cooking. No, it was a very special privilege to be able to serve up spiritual nourishment of God's word and sacraments for our mutual blessing. The thought of good cooking, that is, in a spiritual way, came to my mind when studying the scripture text that's before us today. Just as it's important to have a good recipe, excuse me, I'll put the amplification on for my voice sake. Just as it's important to have a good recipe and good ingredients in order for us to have a really a tasty dish to eat, so also in the spiritual aspect, you have to have a good divine recipe and good ingredients in order to have good relations with fellow believers, and also in carrying out our mission in life as Christians. In the verses leading up to our text, we find the apostle talking about different kinds of relations and what God's word says to us with regard to those relations, our relations with the government, with our employer, our spouse. And then finally, we find it in the scripture text before us today, our relationship with fellow believers. For the promotion of this special kind of relationship, the Lord sets before us his divine recipe, containing various important and essential ingredients, which when added in this mix of people can produce abundant blessings. There's also the added blessing in helping us carry out our mission as a church to reach out to those in the community with the saving gospel of Christ. Earlier, I mentioned a very obvious fact, namely that in making a delicious and nourishing meal, you have to have a good recipe and good ingredients. So also in the spiritual realm of things. But if you don't have a good recipe and good ingredients, well, the food's not going to taste very good, is it? So also in the spelling out of his divine recipe for a good relationship with fellow believers, the Lord warns us against evil, hurtful, and destructive ingredients. We have a tendency of adding to the mix, which can be very destructive, and that's because of our inborn sinful nature. These are the elements which, when discovered in our lives, they need to be rooted out through repentance and faith in Christ. There's certainly all manner of ways we can be guilty of doing harm to one another. Our text mentions some of these harmful ingredients, which as believers we want to remove from our lives and then replace them with good ingredients. In verses 9 to 11, we read there, "Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Whenever a fellow Christian is guilty of saying or doing harmful or bad things to us, we're not to try to get even or payback. This is not the way of Christian. This is the way of the unbelieving world, but not the Christian way. Yes, revenge is very natural, coming from our fleshly sinful nature. But the Spirit of God working in our hearts would compel us to repay evil with good. That is, loving words and actions which serve for the benefit of our fellow sinful believers. What does Jesus tell us to do when we've been wronged by fellow Christians? One of the first things our Savior calls upon us to do is to show unconditional love by being forgiving, even as God has forgiven us of the countless sins that we've been guilty of. This means not holding a grudge against them. Also, out of loving concern for the spiritual welfare of a fellow Christian who's wronged us, Jesus instructs us to go to them and humbly lead them to a knowledge of their sin and to repentance. While repaying evil with evil can make for a bad relationship with others, it is our repaying evil with good and loving kindness which will help breach the gap and restore peace in our relationship with others. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The Apostle Peter also warns us against still other sinful ways of hurting our fellow believers and to do great harm to our relationship with them. It is in our using of our tongue, speaking evil and deceit. He talks about this in the Eighth Commandment, doesn't he? "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." This involves bad-mouthing our brother or sister in the Lord before others, speaking evil of them, whether it be running them down in the eyes of others or by revealing hidden faults or spreading around groundless rumors, all of them that can harm other people. This is speaking evil, it hurts. As you well know, gossip
is society's favorite pastime. People just love to speak about others, and it's not always so good. A lot of times it's about the bad points of someone else. This hurts them, runs them down. However, being compelled by the redeeming love of our Savior God, as Christians we say things that can benefit others, not harm them. And therefore, when our flesh trips us up, where we're going to say something that hurts other people, we humbly repent of it, we seek God's forgiveness, and we look to Him for help to speak things of others that will help them, not hurt them. Turning to the beginning of our scripture text, the Apostle Peter gives us a short list of some of the good ingredients in God's recipe that He gives us to build up a good, lasting relationship with fellow Christians. The Apostle starts it off with what we recognize as a key ingredient, and that is being of one mind. This unity of mind most certainly is not being worldly minded or fleshly minded. It is being spiritually minded, where we're united with others in Christian faith. This is what unites us. Same faith, same purpose, same goals. Our shared Christian faith is what unites us together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. For our elder brother, Jesus Christ, He paid the costly price for our adoption into God's family when He laid down His life on the cross for our forgiveness and salvation. And a wonderful product of Jesus' redeeming work is Christian love. When we see how much our Savior loved us and laid down His life for us as a sacrifice so it could be a part of the family of God, that instills love in our hearts for others, for one another. Christian love is the spiritual glue that bonds us together with one another and keeps us together as a family of God. In spite of the fact that we're sinful and imperfect human beings, we're going to fall, fail, hurt one another, but we have a gracious God who is forgiving and would like to replace our sinful ways with loving ways. Christian love, which God blesses us with in knowing His great redeeming love for us in Christ Jesus, is then manifested in the list of ingredients in God's divine recipe for good relationship with fellow believers. Namely, having compassion for one another, having brotherly love for each other, being tender-hearted and courteous toward each other. The loving way of being compassionate toward others involves having a keen interest in other people, not most concern for others' lives. What affects our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that affects us. Whether it's the triumphs or defeat. Their joys or their sorrows. In this vein of thought, we find the Apostle Paul writing in his letter to the Corinthians, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And he exhorts us in his letter to the Romans, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." What affects our fellow believer affects us. We feel for them. We care for them. We want what's best for them. That is having a compassionate, loving heart. Another product of mutual Christian love is the ingredients of having brotherly love for each other. When speaking of the importance of blood relations, you've heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. Well, there's another family, kind of family that is a more important than blood relations, and that is the family of God. And why is that? Because we share the same faith, the same love, the same hope, eternal hope. And so in this very special family, we show each other brotherly love. If this is totally absent from our hearts, we don't know God. And the love of God is not working in our hearts. Whereas if we have brotherly love for one another, then we really know God. And His love is at work in our hearts. Still another ingredient in God's divine recipe for good relations is being tender-hearted toward one another. The thought behind this ingredient is having a tender spirit and merciful way toward others. When our brother or sister in the Lord is in distress, trouble, or pain, our heart feels for them. We reach out to them to see what we can do to help them. That's having a tender heart toward those who are having a problem in their life. Also, when our sinful brother or sister displays their imperfect ways in Christian love, we're patient with them, we bear with their weaknesses, and finally, we're forgiving toward them. Even as God is tender-hearted toward us in these ways, so also as children of God, we are tender-hearted toward all members of God's family. Finally, Christian love produces in us the good ingredient of being courteous toward each other. Out of love for our brothers and sisters, instead of turning our backs on them, separating ourselves from them, or speaking to or treating them in a rude, inconsiderate, and unfriendly way, we turn to them, we reach out to them, and speak to them in a courteous, loving way. That is being friendly, considerate, and helpful. So all these ingredients which the Apostle Peter lists in our text are a part of God's divine recipe in having good relations with our fellow believers. All this not only blesses us with good relations, but it's also helpful in our carrying out our mission as a Christian church. What is it? What's our mission? What's our purpose in life? It's to reach out to others with the saving gospel of Christ. Now, if we're not getting along very well with each other, we're not living in harmony with each other, do you think that people in the community are going to be willing to listen to us about what we might have to say about our Christian hope? I don't think so. But if they see that here's a group of Christians who are in harmony with each other, loving each other, caring for each other, I think that there are going to be people who will want to listen to us. See what we have to say about Christ and His gift of forgiveness and salvation. So it's important for us to keep in mind God's ingredients for having a good relationship with one another. Compassionate, tender-hearted, showing brotherly love, as well as respond to sins against us by being patient, long-suffering, and forgiving. So then God's divine recipe for good relationship not only blesses us with a good and beneficial life together, but it goes far in our carrying out our mission as a church to the community. As children of God in Christ Jesus, we're able to both love God and love one another. May God work this in all of us for the glory of God and for the benefit of one another and for the sake of reaching out to others with the gospel of Christ that saves. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.